everybody. I'm Beauty Cohen Fredos, and welcome, welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beauty Show. And it's a new year. Can you believe it's 2022 and how quickly time is moving along? And for those of you who are wondering, who is Beauty Cohen Fredos and what is the Ask Beauty Show really all about? Well, I am a psychotherapist. I'm actually a nationally recognized psychotherapist and sex therapist. I am the author of a book that I am very, very proud of, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. I actually wrote the book and it came out in 1998 for my daughter, Jordana. And what happened with this book was this. I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, Connecticut areas. And what I did is that I developed a formula. And for people who know me, they know that I'm very, very pragmatic and very bottom line. And if something doesn't work, that's not even waste a minute talking about it. So I did the research, and the formula, which has been used by thousands and thousands of people around the world, and hopefully more and more people who are struggling in their relationships are going to think about the importance of assessment. And that is what this formula is about. It teaches us exactly how to assess. And I know that assess is not a sexy word when we're thinking about love and romance and passion, but it teaches us exactly how to evaluate and how to assess who is right for you and who is wrong for you before, not after, but before committing to any serious relationship. And it changes the way that we look at relationships forever. And the thing that excites me so much about all of this is that bottom line, it works, it educates, it empowers, and above all, it actually really keeps us safe. Because if we're looking at what is going on in the world of relationships, and I talk about this all the time, despite all of the self-help books and the shows and the retreats and the coaches and the therapists and the so-called relationship experts, the fact is that we are doing really, really badly when it comes to our relationships. You know, for example, you may be surprised to know that 3 women are killed every single day. Yes, every day, by their so-called intimate partner. Every year, approximately 125,000 women report that they have been victims of rape or attempted rape, and more than half of them knew their attackers. And every year, 1.2 million women are forcibly raped by their current or former male partner. I mean, these are really depressing statistics. And we're not blaming the victims, of course, but we certainly need to do a much better job in educating ourselves so that we will take more responsibility for making better assessments. And what's going on in the college world? Well, 30% of college-age students, women, report dating abuse. 30%! That is 1 in almost 3. And in high school, and this was a number, I'm preparing a presentation for an international group, and I was looking at what was going on in the world of high school dating. And what I found was very, very upsetting, particularly since I'm a mom. 25% of high school girls are alleging that there has been and that there is abuse of some kind in their relationship, whether we're talking about physical abuse or sexual abuse or emotional abuse. So all is not well, to say the least. And if we're looking at the divorce statistics, and I've been talking about these divorce statistics for years now, hoping that those numbers are going to go down, but they are in fact They are, in fact, going up. And there is a new phenomenon called the Great Divorce, where people who are a lot older, who've been married for many, many, many years, are saying to themselves, we are not happy. We don't seem to be able to resolve our issues. And we do not want to spend the remainder in our lives being miserable. So again, the divorce rate for first marriages is 48%. The divorce rate for second marriages is 67%. And if you want to hear a third really depressing statistic, the divorce rate for third marriages happens to be 73%. So again, we have the books, we have the therapists. So what is it that is really going on? And why are we continuing to be in this downward spiral? So for me, it's about problem solution. I mean, we can continue to talk and lament about the upset and the abuse that is going on in our relationships and is going on in really relationships around the world. But this is my assessment. And I know that for those of you who've been listening to the Ask Beaty Show now since 2013 here on the Progressive Radio Network, it's amazing where the time has gone. I've been doing a weekly show now. We're going into from 2013 to 2022. There have been a lot of shows, and I love hosting the show on the Progressive Radio Network, and I love the staff that I work with, and I am very grateful for being able to have a voice, and hopefully in some little way, with all the guests and all of the shows that I have done over all of these years, that there has been something, a really positive takeaway that you've been able to really take in that has made a difference in your life. So what's going on? We have books, we have retreats, we have therapists, we have coaches, and yet the relationship situation is not in a good place. So this is what I have found. Number one, if each of us is not in a good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically, then it is virtually impossible to have a healthy relationship with anyone. So it is our personal responsibility, my friends, to deal with our depression and anxiety and unfinished business, primarily beginning with our own family of origin, so that we are strong, that we are solid. And as I used to tell my daughter Jordana, that we want to see that the relationship is going to be the icing on the cake, and that we are going to be the cakes. We're going to be tasty, we're going to be strong, and we are going to be solid. So again, the first place that we have to look at if we want to find and maintain a healthy relationship, it's not at somebody else. It is certainly within ourselves, and we can do this with or without help. And I know what it's like. You know, I've treated thousands of people over the years who have serious, serious issues with depression and anxiety and early child sexual abuse and a variety of different psychiatric problems. And one of the things that I hope that I've really convinced you is that we do not need to navigate life's ups and downs on our own. And that there are times that the very, very best thing that we can all do is reach out and ask for help. So, okay, number one, we need to be as okay as possible. And number two, we need to be willing to actually learn the ingredients to go into a healthy relationship. And what I found, whether or not you're educated or not, or rich or poor or black or white, or trans or gay or psy, or it doesn't seem to really matter what the demographics are, is that we all need to do a much better job in becoming relationship savvy. again, that is really on us. And number three, we need to be willing at least to be open to learning and embracing my 10-step formula that, again, has been successfully used by thousands and thousands of women and men around the world, that teaches people exactly how to assess who's right or wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. Because when you think about it, we spend so much time, we're researching, right, and assessing our cars and our grams of fat and our cell phones and computers, and we rarely think about the importance of assessment and evaluation when it comes to our partners. Now, think back to how often you're in a relationship, right? How often you thought you knew everything there was to know about your partner. You thought you did. You were sure that you had found your perfect match. And then suddenly, what's happening here? Without warning, you realize that you are headed for disaster. Your relationship is in shambles. Your mind is spinning. What went wrong? Well, what I have found, and my patients certainly have confirmed these findings, is that chances are that the signs were there all along, but that we just didn't know what to look for. And that's one of the things that I feel so proud about my book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love, and to the formula, is that you now have an opportunity. We can't change history. We can't change anything that happened 30 seconds ago. But we now have an opportunity beginning today to educate and empower ourselves and keep ourselves safe in ways that you never, ever, ever dream possible. So again, you have to make a decision. You know, we can continue with business as usual, you know, lamenting the problems. And I hear this so often from women. There are no good men. Well, there are plenty of good men and there are plenty of good women, but we really have to become much more savvy and much, much less just living our lives of fantasies and dreams and hoping and wishing that somehow the prince or the princess is going to come and rescue the damsel in distress. And of course, men also want to be rescued, so that there is some work that we all have to do. And in fact, this is what the Ask Beaty Show is really all about. It is about empowerment, okay? It is really about taking charge of our lives as best as we can, even though we can't change our history. So if we're talking about mental illness, if we're talking about depression, for example, in the United States, and I know that these numbers have really gone up in the last couple of years as a result of the pandemic. Statistics tell us that there are 17 million adults in the United States who are suffering from depression. Females experience depression at roughly 2 times the rate for men. And I would qualify that and say that women probably express their symptoms and feelings of depression roughly 2 times the rate of men. So we need to give men permission to express their feelings, whether they're expressing their feelings of depression or anxiety or disappointments. It is not ever going to be healthy for any of us to deny and avoid dealing with the reality of what is and what is not going on in our lives. And if we're looking at anxiety disorders, as an example, we have 40 million people who are suffering from a variety of anxiety disorders. And I look at the domestic violence statistics and I keep hoping again with all the books and the self-help talk that everybody seems to be just engaged in, at least on a very, maybe just peripheral and superficial level, we're still seeing that three women are killed every single day by their intimate partner. If we're looking at suicide statistics, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States for all ages. It is the second leading cause of death in the world for those aged 15 to 24. And what I'm hearing more and more is that the younger kids, the adolescents, are really struggling. I mean, talk about lives that have been so drastically changed by what's been happening in the last couple of years with the pandemic. To be isolated, to be at home, to not be able to go to school every day, to be worrying, am I going to get the COVID and what's happening? Am I going to be able to finish my studies? Am I going to be able to go into a classroom? Am I going to be able to have a social life? There's been a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of depression that everybody is feeling, and the younger people are also feeling it a lot. A statistic that has always concerned me is that females attempt suicide three times as often as males. And this is something else that you may be surprised about, is that lesbian, gay, and bisexual children are three times more likely than straight kids to attempt suicide at some point in their lives. So the importance of dealing with our mental health issues, and I've been hearing, in fact, I was seeing this couple that I've been working with in East Hampton, and they were telling me that many of their friends have wanted to reach out and get some help, whether it was for their relationships or for themselves, and that it has been almost impossible to be able to make appointments, that there are long waiting lists at mental health centers and also with private mental health practitioners. So what we're seeing right now is a crisis. I mean, even people who are wanting help. There's a 15-year-old boy that I have been treating who's really, really needed to have a second opinion visit with a psychiatrist, and his parents were told that the first appointment is only going to be within the next couple of months. So again, I think that we have to be very, very mindful, and we need to persevere, that if we're finding that our lives and our relationships are really starting to feel out of control, don't give up. And, you know, these days, so much of the mental health treatment is actually on Zoom. I mean, I never believed that I would have a practice, that I would have a private practice where 90%, probably 95% of the people that I'm treating, I am treating them on a screen. And yet we are doing the best that we can possibly do. So that if you are finding that life is just becoming way too overwhelming, I encourage you, I really, really do encourage you to at least get yourself on a waiting list and definitely persevere in trying to find, whether or not it's a social worker or a psychologist or psychiatrist, to help you deal with your mental health issues, which may not have been caused by the pandemic. But what we're really seeing is that everything, all the depression and the anxiety and the loneliness and the upset and even the rage has all definitely been exacerbated by what has been going on in the last couple of years. So in so many ways, it comes back and it comes down to what we are willing to do, not just think about, not just complain about, not just lament about, that is really in our best interest in terms of our being able to live a good quality of life as an individual and also as part of a couple and as part of a family. And I was writing my Ask Beattie column for Dan's newspapers in the Hamptons yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I thought it would be really apropos, since it's the beginning of a new year, to take a really honest, in-depth look at all of the issues in our life and see how we are really doing. So this is a time for some introspection, and this is a time to be really honest with ourselves. So my question to you, my friends, is this. Are you living your life in ways that are in your best interest? In fact, that is the homework that I give every single one of my patients, regardless of what their presenting problems are. I want people to be really mindful of how they're behaving and what they are doing and how they are responding in their lives, in their relationships, at work, at home, with their friends and their family. And I think that mindfulness is really key, to be aware. How are we coming across? How are we living our lives? Are we doing things that are in our best interest? Or on the flip side, are we routinely engaging in behaviors and in relationships that are destructive, self-destructive, or self-sabotaging? So yes, it is time to sit up, and it is time to really be honest with ourselves. Because just think about this. Every year, most of us will schedule an annual appointment with our doctor, our dentist, to make sure that our bodies and our teeth are strong and healthy, right? Even if you have to do it on a telehealth appointment. So doesn't our mental health merit the same attention? I think it does. Of course it does. And although an annual psychological checkup may not be feasible for everyone, but when you think about it, why wouldn't it be if we have an annual physical checkup and we have a dentist checking out our teeth? Why not also have an annual mental health checkup just to see, in fact, how we are doing in the emotional, the psychological, the psychiatric arenas of our life? So the following is a list, and I wrote all of this down for my article, a list of wide-ranging questions that really can provide us with a framework to take a solid inventory. Yes, an inventory and evaluation and assessment of our mental and emotional life and well-being or lack of well-being. And our answers will provide us with an opportunity to probe, to reflect. Again, we have to be really honest with ourselves, and hopefully to grow. And when I'm asking you these questions, just think about it, that the responses, they're really for you alone. So I want you, your homework is that I want you to feel free to dig deep and answer each section honestly, okay? And this is not the time or the place to try and fool yourself about your life, about your relationships, or about your mental health. And also remember that there are no perfect scores. So here is what our discussion is going to be like. And I wish I could see all of you right now. I wish I could be speaking with all of you right now. So the real question is, how am I doing? Number one, my mental health. Do I have some days when I feel down? Of course, we all do. But the real question is, overall, have you experienced a period of depression or anxiety that has lasted longer than 2 weeks or that has negatively affected your work or your relationship? An important question. Again, we all go through ups and downs. Nobody is ever positive every day and feeling good. But if the depression or the anxiety is really starting to last a week, and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and months for many, many people. That is the time to really seriously consider reaching out and asking for help. So my other question to you is, are you generally happy with your life, your relationships, and the general direction that you are actually going in? Because if you've ever began to experience symptoms of depression or anxiety or even suicidal thoughts or suicidal gestures, would you, and be honest with yourself, okay, would you reach out and ask for help? And this is, I would say, the primary reason why I love to do the Ask Beattie show. And I've hosted many, many Ask Beattie shows and a variety of different radio stations and television stations over the years, because my hope really is that in these kinds of honest discussions and conversations that I will have been able to convince you that we don't need to deal with life's ups and downs on our own. And there are times when all of us, that the very, very, very best thing that we can do is reach out and ask for help. So again, if you're looking at your mental health, what do you think? I mean, do you think that your depression is out of control, or that you're having panic attacks that you've really not been able to get a handle on, and that your mood generally is simply not what you would want it to be? And of course, then the real question is, what are you going to do about it? Let's go to the second area that I want you to consider, and that is the area of relationships. So how are you doing in your primary relationships? And here are some questions that I'd like you to ponder. Do you have people who care about you and who you can really depend on? And hopefully your answer is yes. And are you able to express your innermost feelings to at least one significant person in your life? You see, we don't need a crowd. We don't need a crowd. We just need one or two people, if we're really lucky, who we can be authentic with, and we can tell them exactly how we are really feeling and that we don't need to perform. Are your relationships with significant others, including your children, largely positive? And are you able, you know, we want love from others, we want other people to express love to us, but are you able to express your love to them in a variety of ways? Again, we're looking at what is going on in the world of relationships across the globe. And it is not a pretty picture. I mean, I comment on a weekly basis about the divorce rate, about the domestic violence rates. So again, hopefully you are in a situation where your relationship is mostly working for you. And if you find that it is not, there doesn't need to be abuse of any kind, but that you're just not feeling connected, that you're just not feeling close, again, it boils down to one question. You know, what are you willing to do about it? And if you're in a partnership, the real question then becomes, what are you and your partner, you can't do this by yourself, willing to do about this to improve the quality of your relationship? It's very, very difficult. You know, if you're with somebody who says, no, I'm not interested, you know, this is all you, this is all your problems, that we're not getting along very, very well, then it is incumbent upon you to get some clarity for yourself and figure out what you want to do if you happen to find yourself in a relationship with someone who is unwilling and unwanting to acknowledge, address, and resolve issues that are getting in the way of your lives as a couple. And, you know, when I talk about relationships, we're not just talking about romantic relationships. I mean, relationships with our children, with our parents, with our colleagues. And that's what I'm really asking you to do, is to do an honest, very, very complete assessment about your relationships with people across the board. If you're looking at your professional and financial stability, this is another category, okay? We're moving along here. Do you feel like you're a contributing member of your society? You know, what are you doing? I mean, do you do anything at all that you feel is that you are giving back in some way? And I think that we all need to find meaning in our life. And of course, we find meaning in our lives in very, very different ways. What works for you may not work for me. But I just feel that if we believe that we are contributing to something other than just our own individual well-being, it makes a difference. It makes a difference because we feel a part of something. We feel a connection. And it is the connections that certainly help us not only feel socially connected, but they happen to be very, very positive for our emotional and psychological well-being as well. So moving along here and asking yourself questions about work and your financial stability, do you actually enjoy your work and do you find it interesting and fulfilling? I think it's harder these days because most of us, or at least a majority of people these days, are working from home, and that you don't really have any face-to-face, person-to-person, other than on the screen, connection to others. But overall, do you find your work interesting and fulfilling? I know many, many people who have been in a field for their entire lives, and they have regrets, and they say, I wish I'd had the courage to make a change or to pivot because I just never felt that strong connection, positive connection to what I was doing. So hopefully, even though most of us are working from home, that you're finding what you're doing stimulating and that you're making a difference in some way. So how do you get along with your colleagues? Do you find that your colleagues, even though they may be on a screen, stimulating and supportive as well? And if not, again, what to do? What to do to how to create better connections and better relationships, even if we are viewing our colleagues and friends and family on a screen primarily. And when it comes to money, how are your finances? Are you financially responsible with little debt? Or, on the other hand, do you feel panicked about your financial situation? And many, many, many people are feeling very panicky about their finances, unsure about what is going to be happening to jobs. I mean, with COVID, there are people who are out of work. There are people who are unvaccinated who are losing their jobs. I mean, so it is a crazy time. But it is important, you know, whether or not we're talking about our own mental health, our relationships, or our money, to stop and take a look at the reality of what is going on or not going on, and then coming up with a viable, positive plan that is in our best interest. And I don't know whether you might need to have a consultation with an accountant or with a financial person if you're finding that you are just overwrought with financial debt or financial uncertainties. Again, we don't need to navigate our lives on our own. Another area, and I don't hear too many people really talking about this too much, is our mood and our temper. So I'm going to ask you this. Is your temper usually under control? And that does not mean not expressing the full gamut of emotions, the anger, the upset, the disappointment, the fears that we all have. Because these are trying times for many of us. And when you are angry or upset with others, let me ask you this. Are you usually able to find the words and the way and the time to constructively? Yes, the key word here is constructive. Constructively express our feelings when we're angry or upset with others. Or on the other hand, do you stuff your feelings? And what happens if we stuff our feelings over a period of time? There are going to be serious repercussions. There will be explosions, and stuffing our feelings is absolutely not in our best interest, not in terms of our mental health or our physical well-being as well. Do you hold grudges? Do you feel that people are out to get you? Again, these are questions that we don't normally ponder, but they're important questions because it really gives you a sense, a very, very clear sense of where you are at in the various areas of our life. Now, here is a drug question, a substance abuse question, okay? I want you to be really honest, really, really honest about this. Are you concerned with any alcohol or prescription drug use or abuse? Have you suffered any negative repercussions or relationship difficulties as a result of your possible substance abuse? And you might just say, no, I don't have a problem. But what I would suggest, if there is even a question of whether or not things may be even a little bit out of control, I would ask a close friend or partner to corroborate your own thoughts and feelings about this, because their answers could give you some much, much needed objectivity. You know, I'm finding with my own patients, people who rarely, if ever, drank, that they've been acknowledging to me that they've been having that extra glass or two of wine as a means to kind of calm down at the end of a day. Although these days, the beginning of the days, the end of the days, I think that there's a lot of confusion, particularly since many, many people that I see are working internationally on different time zones. So day is night and night is day, and that extra glass or two of wine has become commonplace for many of the people that I'm seeing. And this is a warning. This is a real warning just to be very, very, very careful. What about our physical health? These are difficult times to try and stay in shape. So how is your physical health generally? Have you put on a lot of weight in the last year or two? Are you basically in good health? And have you had a complete physical? It is really important, including blood work, within the last year. Do you follow your doctor's advice and take your medications as prescribed? What is your exercise protocol? And do you at least walk 30 minutes most days and usually keep to a healthy and well-balanced diet? So again, it's about really being honest with yourself. You know, I'm doing the show from my office here on the Upper West Side in New York City, surrounded by my free weights that I absolutely depend on. They're great for keeping me toned and fit, and they are also great for my mood. And I really, really recommend that. If you're finding that it's just too cold to be walking around, that you can actually get down on the rug or on the floor and you can do some cardio exercises, and you can also buy some free weights. They are not expensive, to give yourself a really good regular physical workout, which has amazing positive benefits to one's mental health and mood. So hopefully you are going to incorporate some, if not all, of these ideas when it comes to physical health and exercise. So now I'm going to ask you about your sleep. How are your sleep patterns? Do you have difficulty falling or staying asleep? Are you getting at least 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep most nights? So that means turning off the computers and turning off the devices at a reasonable hour so that you can find the ways to wind down and move into a restful sleep pattern. Because I don't know about you, if I don't get enough sleep, my mood is not good. I am irritable. I am not on top of my game. So again, I'm asking you to, you know, at least once during this next year, to really take a look at all of these different areas that really have major, major impact on our lives, on our relationships, on our physical health, and on our mental health as well. What about sex? In these uncertain times, are you satisfied with the quantity and quality of your sex life? And, you know, when I was writing this, I thought, well, there are a lot of people that do not have partners, which does not mean that you do not need to have a sex life. I mean, we know this. And for women, there are a variety of different kinds of vibrators. And again, you could give yourself permission with a partner or without a partner to continue to feel sexual. My other question, of course, is do you have difficulties, if you have a partner, do you have difficulties asking for what you want in and out of the bedroom with your sexual partner or partners? And especially if things are not going well in the bedroom, it's sometimes very difficult to bring up the subject. And yet what I found over all of these years is whether or not we're talking about sex or food or vacations or money or sleep, that it is really, really important to deal with issues that arise. And there are always going to be issues. There are always going to be challenges. And this is why when, you know, people ask me when I'm interviewed on radio and on television, and, you know, one of the big questions is, BD, what do you think are the two most important ingredients that actually make or breaks relationships? My answer, as unromantic as this answer is, it really is emotional communication and problem solving. Because if we can't talk and if we can't solve problems, and there are always going to be problems, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to be able to have a successful and happy relationship with anyone. And what about self-care? Another area. And again, I want you to be really, really honest with yourself. Do you take good care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually? And what are you doing? Like, how do you take good care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually? Do you practice good personal hygiene, you know, in small ways? You know, I had a patient who was very depressed. And she said to me, well, I haven't washed my hair in 2 weeks. Well, you know, she needed to wash her hair. And it was so interesting. She washed her hair. She colored her hair. And this was about a year ago when I was still seeing her in person. And her depression did not disappear completely, but she certainly felt a lot better with clean hair, colored hair. And it was just something that is important for all of us to do, is to make sure that our self-care is really on target. Do you feel like that you're living? And this is another thing under the category of self-care. Do you feel like you're living a life of purpose and spiritual satisfaction? A life of purpose. And what does that mean? And it means different things to all of us. So think about it. And do you have spiritual satisfaction? And it doesn't mean that you need to go to an ashram, and it doesn't mean that you need to meditate. And we each find our own life purpose and spiritual satisfaction in many, many different ways. So there isn't a right way and a wrong way. Do you try and surround yourself? Again, this is also under the umbrella of self-care. Do you try and surround yourself with loving and supportive people who help you appreciate the joy and mystery of life? And this is something that is so, so important. And I talk about this a lot. You know, when Dr. Gary Nell talks about toxins, he is usually referring to toxins in our food and toxins in our environment. And when BD Cohen-Bredos usually talks about toxins, I typically are referring to toxins in our relationships, and being around toxic people will kill us one way or another if we actually allow it. So again, are you surrounding yourself with loving and supportive people who really do appreciate you and who are able to express appreciation to you? Or have you learned? And this is something that I'm really hoping, if you haven't learned, that I want to teach you in the next year. Have you learned to not engage with toxic people, including family and friends? Because toxic people will hinder us all the time in living a more contented and balanced life. So, you know, I always say, and it's not just at the end of the year, you know, who should stay and who should go? And I'm not suggesting that we, you know, get rid of people in our lives when there are problems, because there are always going to be ups and downs in our own individual lives and in our own relationships. But what you want to be really careful about is that the people in your lives, even though there will be ups and downs, are willing to deal, that they're willing to acknowledge, that they're willing to address, that they are willing with you to try and resolve the ups and downs and challenges and difficulties that we all have with family, with friends, with colleagues, you know, in our relationships across the board. So this is something that is terribly, terribly important, to make sure that the people in our life are people that support us and are life affirming, rather than people who are zapping us of our energy and of our health. In fact, a patient, she had sent me a text about a month or two ago, and I wrote it, you know, on some of the papers here that I use when I do the Ask BD show. And I love this, and thank you for it. And I know that she's probably listening right now. And this is a reminder to say no to the things, people, and places that steal our joy. to say no. I will not accept it. I will not tolerate your behavior. So again, it's a reminder to say no to the things, people, and places that steal our joy. The last area here is goals. Okay. Do you feel clear about your goals? And goals change, and they can change all the time, and that's okay. But do you feel that your goals are achievable? Are they realistic? And are they satisfying? Even though, I mean, very few people are able to say, yes, I've achieved all of my goals. So even though you've yet to fully achieve them, do you feel that you are on the right path to eventually reach them? And you may want to have a consult, whether or not it's with a family member or a friend or a colleague or even a professional, to just make sure to get that second opinion or even a third opinion, to just make sure that you are on track. And of course, goals can change all the time, and that is okay too, but to make sure that you are actually doing the things that are in your best interest, that will increase the potential and will increase the probability of your reaching the goals that are important to you. And I think that maybe some of the goals that we had in our 20s are very, very different than the goals that we have later on in life. So I know that I'm asking you to do a lot of work. Yes, I'm tough. And when patients come to see me, they know that they're not just coming to visit Beatty and engage in a tea party kind of conversation. Because this is your life. It's important. So are you ready? You've gone through 10 different areas that I've asked you to take a look at. So are you ready to make some changes in your life and relationships and create the life that you want? Do you want to make any changes, or do you want to just continue business as usual, even though business as usual may not be working for you? So now what I want you to do is to review your answers in each of the 10 categories. And hopefully you are one of the people who is really on the right track across the board. You've learned to navigate your life and relationships in ways that are healthy, nurturing, and in your best interest. On the other hand, my friends, you may discover that you are on a path that's causing you great stress and pain. And we all know it's very, very difficult at times to be fully truthful with ourselves. Yet it's our avoidance and denial and our blaming the world and self-blame and defensiveness that help keep us in a downward spiral. And it really does take a lot of courage to be willing to acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we can the things that continue to get in the way of our living happier and more fruitful lives. But there's a consequence that we pay if we don't step up to the plate and confront our demons, our old demons. Yes, we can change history, but there is a way, believe me, to emotionally work through what did and didn't happen in our lives so that we are really able, for the most part, to live in the moment instead of having one foot in the past and one foot in the present. And it is becoming increasingly more and more difficult to fully enjoy our life when we have a lot of unfinished business and what I also call skeletons in the closet. So the real question, you've gone through these 10 different areas. So the question is, what are you going to do? And here's hoping that you are going to have the courage for the new year to do the necessary work to to change your life in wonderful ways that you never thought would be possible. And ultimately, it's a choice. It's a choice that we all need to make. And I'm hoping that you're going to make a good one. And hopefully most of the areas in your life are working okay for you. But if you're finding that they're not, you don't want to live yet another year or another decade in a depressed downward spiral. And remember, and again, this is something that I hope that I have convinced all of you over all of these years, that you do not need to navigate all of this life's challenges and relationship issues and health issues, mental health issues, physical health issues on our own. And, you know, what I'm hoping actually for this new year, 2022, you know, when I first started doing radio, this was many, many, many years ago in Providence, Rhode Island, I actually hosted the first call-in counseling Ask Beauty show on on the Progressive Radio Network, but on WPRO, which was the number one news talk station in the state of Rhode Island. And what I'm hoping that maybe we're going to be able to do, even though I know that many of you are at work, is to find a way that you will be able to call me during the show. And of course, the show is live here in New York City from 3 to 4. PM every single Monday. And yes, there is an archives, but of course, if you listen to the archives, you're not going to be able to speak with me directly. So I'm going to talk to my producers and see what we can do to try to make this more of a show where you will have an opportunity to call me and we can talk very specifically about your own individual issues. Well, I'm looking at the clock. It is 3:56 here in very, very cold New York City. And I want to leave you with my two weekly messages. And the first message, and I want you to be really serious about this and take this in, is that I want you to think about doing everything possible, or at least almost everything possible, as we are moving forward in 2022 to do things that are really in your best interest. And of course, the second message, and this is something that we all really need to take seriously, is that we all need to do a much, much, much better job in learning to take care of each other and love each other. So goodbye, everybody. Have a good, good rest of the day. Be good to yourself. Be good to others. And I will talk with you next Monday, live from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network. So goodbye. Take care. Be well. Talk with you next week. Bye-bye.